Live recording might be explicit.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Oh man, I'm ruby red. Where's my Coke Zero? Sponsored by... So, we are WTF and TFW Live. Here to talk to you a little bit... About, sorry, I'm monitoring that too, because that thing's going to run out of battery in space at some point, and I'm going to have to run over. But I have a plan for how that flip is going to happen.
Another music video?
Absolutely. We're here to talk about TFCon. So you all ostensibly were at TFCon, I expect, I assume. Yeah! So let's get down to brass tacks. Evo.
Yes.
So, what the hell happened with that guy who got up?
So... It was Guilty Gear. What was the guy's name again? Do you remember it?
Oh, no, I forgot. You tweeted it to me. I'll take a look.
This is already off to a great start. We're doing research and checking Twitter in the middle of the panel.
But about that guy, he was playing... That was Guilty Gear Xrd, right?
Yeah.
So he's playing Xrd. Wushige.
Wushige.
Yeah.
And so he's in the... It's a best of three... And he wins the second round. He wins the first round. He assumes he's won. Like, he lost count of how many matches were happening. And in the middle of the set, he stands up and starts cheering and screaming, like jumping up and down on the stage. But the game is still running. So it's like if you're a marathon runner doing three laps around a track, and you do two laps, assume you've won the race, and you stop on the line and start cheering. I've seen Olympians do this before. And then the rest of the race just goes past you. So he does this in front of the audience.
He gets up and moves away from his seat, like way over there to the other edge of the stage.
Yeah, and you hear, like, for a second, the crowd's kind of playing along with it, like, yeah!
And then the crowd just explodes again in a very different way. And then they slam cut to the screen footage as his unmanned character is being run through a ringer of, like, 20-hit combos. He runs back to his chair, gets there just in time to lose. And then he's just like this for, like... Ever.
Yeah, Evo, for those not in the know, is a fighting game tournament that happens to fall over TFCon every year, so it's sort of becoming a TFCon thing that at some point during the con, there are people in my room watching fighting games.
It's fun.
It's fun.
Like, yeah, I don't get most... Like, last year we watched some BlazBlue, was it?
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on.
No.
At all. There were like 15 systems at work. Someone was simultaneously controlling a character and a spinning stick with like one joystick, and there was the birth of a new god.
Yeah.
And yeah. Anyway, TFCon, thanks for coming by. We're out of here. No.
So, how was your TFCon?
My TFCon was pretty good. But you know whose TFCon we don't know about at all? We don't know about Aaron Smith's. Aaron!
Hey!
Can anyone hear Aaron?
Yeah!
Hi, who?
Aaron, can you hear them?
Yeah, a little bit.
We need to be louder!
Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard that.
Okay. Nobody said anything, so that's on your end.
No.
While we have Aaron, now that I'm running a live stream and Skype, dear chat, who's watching on YouTube chat, why don't we do...
Thanks, Gigabudo!
Why don't we do a little bit of a check with the chat? So I'm going to say Marco, you say Polo. Marco! And I'm going to start counting. No, not you, them. You're the live chat. We're talking about the live stream chat. It's very, very different.
Oh, I'm sitting here watching the live chat and you just called me.
Did I? How long ago was that?
I don't know.
50 seconds. We got a 50-second lag. Okay.
Okay.
Don't worry about the polo ever. Well, they already did it. Who cares? So, Aaron, how was your TFCon?
Incredibly depressing.
Why?
Why? Because I'm not in Canada. I don't know if you've realized this, but we're talking across the internet right now so that I can be part of it.
Hang on a second.
And I'm not there.
Aaron, this is very important. Are you recording on your end?
Yes, I am, actually.
Holy crap, you're prepared. Okay, you knew what I was going to do. All right, good. Well, oh, look at that, polo. So, from your perspective over in America, what did you see from TFCon? What did you feel about what you saw?
A whole lot of interesting stuff out of the third-party panel, like normal. Was told that we're going to have to get that jazz I like how it was we that were going to have to get the jazz when it's not my jazz collection. But a whole lot of fun.
All right. We've got a replacement for you here. We got Ray, Random Factor.
Yeah.
Since, you know, you decided to not show up for your obligation of being on every live recording.
Yeah.
So you got any words for Aaron here while you're here?
I miss you.
Aww.
It's not the same.
Yeah, it is.
I know. It was. I was incredibly tempted on Friday just to, like, leave from work and start driving north.
Well, what if you start now?
Sanity came about. If I started now, I'd be there just about time. Well, I'd be after the time. I'd have to turn around and then come back to hopefully make it to work.
Well, that sounds like a give-up kind of attitude to me.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, as long as we're on the same page. Random_factor, I'm going to say to your real-life face.
Okay. That's not weird at all.
It's important you got the underscore in there.
How...
I thought it was 8 feet tall in a chick.
How is TFCon for you?
Well, now it's just gotten awkward.
It's all right. Gigabeetle's here to, you know, he's... So, among the other things going strangely, Gigabeetle's in the chat, but Bunnycliff is over there.
Yeah!
You're Bunnycliff?
From Brazil, baby!
Everything makes sense now!
Yeah! No, it's not here, so I can do this.
Fuck you!
Aaron, if only you could see. If only you could see.
I heard the racking of a Nerf gun, I believe.
Yeah.
And Stu's nowhere to be found.
No, Stu's around. Stu's around. He's not around. He'll be around. Around. Stu will be around.
Be a standard WTF panel.
Yep. Well, no, Smelly's because
getting shot.
Usually Bunnycliff's telling people to shoot you up on the screen.
Yeah.
So
we need to get duct tape and put you up there.
Yeah.
Absolutely go up that screen.
He'd have a good shot at him from up there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
live the dream.
We're getting off track.
Okay.
What is your TFCon experience? Excellent. Nah, it's a fire hazard. You got to get back down. I don't know if it's a fire hazard.
It's growing less positive by the second, Chris.
I know.
This has been a really good TFCon.
Yeah.
This has been fantastic. I think this has been one of the biggest TFCons I've ever been to. I think this is the biggest TFCon I think I've been to. And I'll say this as politely as I can. I think this is the first year I've been here, and I feel like the convention has outgrown the hotel a bit.
A touch. I felt that way when I got out the elevator on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Like at you know, 8 a.m. or so, and the line was going past the elevator to get in.
It was definitely something. The dealer room especially was really feeling it. Yeah. I've never felt the dealer room that claustrophobic.
Yeah. Oh, man. Especially if you were trying to get, like, anything that you thought was rare or exclusive in there right away. Like, I got Human Tidal Waved against the side of the desk over by, you know, the third-party mecha. A3U Madhouse, Fans Project Make Toys, MMC, whatever. ToyDojo.com. Shit. Yeah. Wait, what?
Huh?
Huh?
What?
I'm sorry, what?
Chill.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I had a pretty good time there. Got some cool stuff. You've been trying to sell some things.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I came to the convention. I'm moving next week, so I've got a bunch of third-party stuff I've been trying to get unload. I've gotten rid of most of it. I've had really good buyers, really kind buyers for a lot of it. I still have a steel core I'm trying to sell, so afterwards, heading up after the panel.
Yeah, speaking of that, could you pass me those boxes? The green one and the white one. If anyone wants a 66 Action Kamen Rider, I am selling these for $6 a piece. I've got a little selection here if you want to. I've also got a Lego pizza guy for $4, and if you want a Tobot, $15. I don't know if that's actually legal, but all the staff have left the room, so why not? These have Ramune candy, and it's pretty tasty. Oh, the staff are coming back in. Anyway, what were we talking about? Yeah. TFCon. Now, panels. I admit, I actually only saw my own panels because I was in them, so I had to see them.
Yeah.
Did you make it to any panels?
No.
Aaron,
what?
Did you catch any panels while you were not at TFCon?
No, I didn't not catch any panels while I wasn't not there.
I tried to get into the Peter Cullen one, but I actually got turned away at the door. I've never had that happen here before.
Because they hit capacity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have, like, a VIP or anything?
I think that was it.
I thought that was only, like, you know, they get in first.
I wasn't accompanied by Ryu from Street Fighter.
Yeah, filling out the back of the room. So I don't have any direct panel reports to do. I understand that during the third party panel, poor Ryan had to like, he had to make excitement out of like three Ironhides in a row. I went through the slides myself afterwards, you know, when they went up on TFW, and I can't be jaded about it. Like, I feel for any company that put the work in to design a figure to have its hype just like yanked out under its own feet. You know, in a way where I can't defend it. Like, it's not, it's their fault. They were making an Ironhide, and the company's going to make an Ironhide eventually. But man, like, to see all your work, I felt this way with Fans Toys with their Soundwave as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you, and that the fact that they are still trying, you know, they're like, well, we've gone this far. We have to.
Absolutely.
And there are three Ironhides or whatever in the presentation, and it's like, oh man, you guys are like, it's not even an uphill battle. It's like, I don't know, you're falling down a cliff, but, you know, you're just telling yourself you're actually going up.
Yeah. It's the third-party scene has gotten really strange, because there's a lot of really cool stuff coming out. Like, you know, you stop by those booths at the in the dealer room, you see the glass cases, there's a lot of really cool toys in there, but I feel like one of the things third-party's really done to itself, and the community has been pretty complicit in this, is sort of help them build a wall around themselves, where there's no longer any space to innovate. It's you're either doing Combiners, Dinobots, Insecticons, or some combination of the three.
And you have to follow a new talking. You have to follow a new fad as soon as it starts, almost, to catch on to that hype.
Yeah, so you're dealing with sort of increasing consumer fatigue. That's high-end consumer fatigue. That's pricey consumer fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't an industry where you can afford a lot of failures. And then on top of that, Hasbro has really been stepping their game up over the last year. Combiner Wars has been, you know, I consider it to be a huge success.
Yeah.
It's been mind-blowing. We're getting a Skylynx
at
Hasbro in 2015.
Who, by the way, looks pretty darn cool, in my opinion.
Pretty dang awesome.
I don't know if you've listened to the podcast, but I talked a little bit quietly about Skyrain when we got that news drop. Just a touch. Hi, Jared. Jared, come up here for a second, because you know Aaron, right? You should come up and say hi. This is Jared from Pre-Order 66.
Yeah, I can hear him from there. Let him stay in a comfortable seat. I don't have to drag people around for your amusement or mine.
Does that microphone work?
I don't know.
Oh, it does.
It does.
Yes.
I just want to know if you and Aaron can quickly have like a 30-second conversation, because I think that'd be really cool. This is like telepresence. Like, it's
a conversation about what?
Aaron. Like, the fact that he's had the same
Hi, Aaron.
How long has he had this Skype picture as his avatar?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever changed my Skype picture avatar.
I don't think you have.
Well, Jared, ask him why not.
Aaron, why not?
Because I don't need to change it.
he says he doesn't need to change it.
A bit of an ego on you there, buddy.
Look, there's one thing that occasionally gets me. People that frequently change their Twitter avatars, and I lose track of who they are, especially if they're a person that changes the avatar and the name that displays. And eventually I'll be like, why am I following this person? Then I have to realize, oh, they're just going on a weird, I'm going to repeatedly change things and have multiple personalities.
Or they change their Twitter avatar to this really creepy elf thing.
That's Till Lindemann from the music video for his hit single from his new album, Skills and Pills. I'd talk more about, it's called Praise Abort, the song. I'd share it on here, but I think that would actually violate some stuff if I shared that particular music video on these screens. It's a good music video, though. It's a little bit vulgar.
Like the Viking?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot of horns. But there's also a big bucket hat. It's pretty sweet. Aaron, is there any chance we're going to see you at TFCon Charlotte or maybe even a TFCon 2016?
Charlotte, I'm leaning more towards now. I kind of said none whatsoever, but I got really itchy this weekend not seeing anybody, so Charlotte may happen, and then most definitely 2016, and Chicago 2016, and from here on out.
So you're gonna...
This was just, I needed to conserve finances and energy.
Alright. Well, you know what? It's not my call. To the three people in attendance here, are you guys okay with Aaron's excuse? Do you think that that's satisfactory?
Sleep when you're dead.
Aaron, did you catch all that?
Mostly, and to all of you, I'll say I need to put a roof on the house.
Why?
Why? Because it's shedding shingles like crazy.
Dude, just use a tarp. Shingles are viral.
That was Malwave, by the way, Aaron.
Okay. Any nerfin attendance?
Motherfucking dog!
That sounded about right, yeah. Thank you.
No problem, Aaron. I knew you couldn't make it, but I wanted to give you your, you know, those little positive feelings, those endorphin releases, you know?
It feels good sitting here.
Well, we'll keep you on the line. Whenever you want to, you know, say anything or cut in, just, you know, feel free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a free country. I'm just trying to get something set up on my phone so we can do a little thing for this, what I would call the second half of this thing. Well, let's talk a little bit about...
second thing, you're very descriptive.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about just a story, because I have a story from TFCon. Now, last year, we talked a little bit about a story, about trying to just get details on, you know, there was an altercation in the dealer room. This year, it was no altercation, but I have a funny story anyway, and I don't think anyone's going to be harmed by it. But I was trying to find a thing, and I bumped into someone I know, and they were running a dealer table, or having a conversation. As I'm about to leave, someone comes up, and they're like, hey, I didn't catch it all, he was looking for somebody. And he had a description to go off of in a text message. And they were like, wait, what's the description? And he shows them, and they're like, what? And like, what's the description? Someone told the guy, try to find two Asian guys running a dealer table. Now, these were two Asian guys, and I'm a half Asian person. And so we're all kind of looking at each other in that moment of like, wait, what? And then we thought, like, you know, of a few other descriptions you could have trying to find someone in TFCon. Like, look for someone in a black t-shirt. Look for an Asian person in Toronto.
They're wearing shoes.
Yeah. Look for a Transformers fan if you can.
They have eyes.
So that was my fun little thing. It's only like a 2-second long thing. But that was my little story I banked. I thought it was kind of cute. Do you have any stories? That we can tell, anyway.
No.
Oh.
Nothing's coming up to my head right now.
All right. Pop in if your anecdote comes up. You guys will get a chance too. Aaron, any stories from TFCon on your end?
No.
Were you even paying attention?
On and off.
Okay. Well, that pretty much just like kills the rest of the idea I had for content with just a bunch of us up here. So, we have an idea.
What? Don't we have listener questions or anything?
We're going to ask some listener questions. The whole idea is you guys are listeners to this podcast, right? Right now? So, and there's a microphone there. So if you do want to line up for listener questions, don't even have to think of anything. Just line up. If you have no question, line up anyway. If you just want to talk during this, it'll be fine because we have an idea. So I'm just going to get this ready here. It's a listener question.
Working on it. You better make it good.
Okay. So we've got a couple people lined up here. If you could introduce yourself on the mic when you get up there. Let us know who you are.
Hello, I'm Peter.
Hi, Peter. You're a listener, right?
Yes.
Well, we've got a question for you. This comes from Malunas T, sent in April 13, 2015.
Hi, Malunas.
Recently, I had a dream about a Transformers live-action movie that combined different continuities. After the big battle came to a close, Swerve from More Than Meets the Eye was boasting about the Autobots' victory when Movie Terror Dive rose from the rubble behind him and impaled his torso with a trident. I don't remember much after that, but it felt very appropriate to More Than Meets the Eye. What sort of dreams related to Transformers fiction have you experienced over the years?
Please remember we do not have an adult rating for this podcast.
Yeah, but you know, have you ever had a Transformers dream? Any kind of...
I don't think I have. I don't know. No.
Have you just had a dream you want to share? I don't know. Something weird? Blue people?
You met Peter Cullen, obviously, so
that
must have been a dream of some sort.
Well, if you haven't got an answer for that question, have you got a question for us?
Yeah, I have a question for you guys.
Oh, okay.
What's the best thing you got at the convention this year?
120 Canadian cupola. That's 94 US.
Yeah! Woo!
Eat it big. Oh, sorry, Jared.
Yeah, it was like the best deal that you got in the dealer room.
Cupola! 120 Canadian means 94. Sorry.
I didn't realize how bad the Canadian dollar was doing until people started freaking out about the cupola.
Yeah.
It's like $120. I'm like, that's what it costs. No, in Canadian, that's like 60 cents in America.
I've never seen so many people whipping out the calculator app on their phone. If you guys went by Chosen Prime, they had like printed off like 15-page spreadsheets for every person working the table. Did you get anything cool?
Yeah, I picked up, I got the Combiner Wars hotspot. Because it hasn't shown up at St. Catharines yet. Fantastic toy, good Voyager. And I also picked up the Iron Factory Windblade.
I found a hotspot at Walmart before the convention.
Like, what's the going price like Canadian retail?
It's a $35.
Okay, so I paid.
Really?
Yeah.
Because someone in Victoria told me, okay, someone in Victoria found them and told me, yeah, they were $35. I was like, you had to be at a comic store. That's ridiculous.
No, that's what they're going for now. And, like, the deluxes are getting closer and closer, more consistently, be
$20. Like $32-something at Toys R Us. That's,
cheaper at Toys R Us? Really?
Yeah, I think the deluxe ones for the deluxe combined rewards, like 18
yeah.
something.
Give us the cupola, Jared. Let us have the cupola. You hear all this? Okay, thank you. Aaron, what about you?
I picked up a Groove to complete my Defensor.
Yeah, Groove!
How do you like his capris?
He's interesting. Definitely a toy that was built for one case.
Who needs a deluxe Groove, wow. Am I right?
Yeah.
He's like wearing flood pants, isn't he?
I call him everything that's short, I call capris. It's just my word. All right, well, we've got another listener up here, if you'd introduce yourself.
Hey, General Techno here.
All right, General Techno, you ever have dreams about Transformers?
None that I can think of, no.
Really sorry, Malunas. We're going to keep trying. Well, I do have a question here from G1 Wheeljack.
And what is your question, sir?
Hello, WTF at TFW crew.
Greetings.
I noticed my listener question from the great Twitter influx of 2015 got lost in the shuffle, so I figured I'd resubmit for your consideration without the 140 character limit. How do you feel about the recent trend of toy releases affecting story in IDW comics? I've noticed people are generally negative towards the idea, and I feel Hasbro is forcing the writers to change their plans and stories to shove in a new toy to sell. It can also affect which artists may be available for the comic due to needing some done in advance so they may be backed in with a new wave of toys. Granted, Transformers have always been about selling toys and using media as a vehicle to do so, but for a good portion of IDW's time with the license, they haven't been beholden to this in their main continuity. Does this inclusion actively bother you or take you out of the story when you see character X who just happens to be upcoming or on the shelves showing up in an issue, or does it slide right past you? Do you feel there is any benefits to the story by doing it, or is it only harmful? Thank you for your time, and I look forward to your thoughts.
You know, Dr. Sheena had, I hope he's not in this room, because then he'll be worried for his job.
Bring it! So!
But, as a fan of the IDW comics, and someone who really likes the fact that we're getting toys and characters in the IDW comics, I'm all for it. It's come across as less a case of Hasbro telling them, okay, this is what you have to include, so you need to kill off these guys, like, say, Marvel US days. And it's more everyone gets in a room and then they, you know, throw around ideas and they come up with crazy stuff like, let's make Megatron an Autobot. And because that came out of a Hasbro meeting with IDW and it's turned into a fantastic plot arc.
Yeah.
As a result. So I mean, I'm all for the interaction.
I mean,
I love the fact that we're getting all these tie-ins and that Barber sneaking in hints of Combined Wars Devastator back in early RID.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he's been teasing Titan Wars for the past year.
Well, do you feel like there are weak moments too? Like, I mean, Dark Cybertron's really the only example, but like, you know, you have this one page aside with Tankor just sort of walking in, you hear the crowd applauding on the background, and he's like, I'm Tankor, and I think this, and he leaves.
As a big fan of Tankor, specifically the evil Rhinox version of Tankor, yeah, that does kind of bug me. But,
yeah. You think they've been doing better, though?
Well, I don't know. I probably would have done him as a written him completely differently. I had ideas in my head for how to do Tankor before that toy came out. So.
Did you take James Roberts aside?
Oh, no. It was all like an idea of like functionist lobotomizing Rhinox back in the day or something like that. So.
That would have been cool, actually.
Yeah. It was like he'd be some sort of philosopher, and they would have lobotomized him because he was writing stuff they didn't like, and then you end up with Tankor as a result.
That's a cool idea.
A new body.
Instead, we got Rhinox just in the prehistory or whatever.
Plus, that fits kind of with the Beast Machines backstory Tankor too.
All right.
But yeah, I'm all for the comic stuff. There's been weak moments. There's also been some great moments. Overall, I thought that Dark Cybertron had weak stuff. Unlike a lot of people, it seems online on different comics podcasts, I actually overall enjoyed the Combiner Wars arc. We got some good stuff in there. I don't hate dislike Livio's art either, so that helps. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm up for it. If it means that we're getting more toys of characters that I like in the comics, then keep it up.
Cool. Well, thanks for your answer.
All right.
Yeah, no worries. Next, we've got... is that too low?
Yeah.
I don't know how to adjust it.
Hello, my name is...
Sorry about that. yeah, I guess you just hold on to it. Should be fine. Yeah. Just, yeah, Phil Donahue this.
Also, are any of you planning on coming to Auto Assembly?
I wish I could, because it's the last one.
Yeah.
God.
I'd love to be able to see Mikey and Andy and the whole, like...
I would love to see Mikey.
I'd love to see the Moonbase crew.
Like, I mean, it's not like I don't want... No, I don't want to see Andy. Yeah, I want to see Mikey. Sorry, Andy. I've seen you already. Like, I haven't seen Mike. Mikey's fresh. Mikey's fresh news.
I wish I could see any of you.
Yeah, thanks for being the sad man in the corner, Aaron.
It's okay.
Don't you see the live stream we're running? You can watch
it.
Like a 1 minute
I do, but
lag.
I mean, come on, that's getting pretty pathetic at this point.
Anyway, we have a question for you. This comes from Triceradon. Came in on May 18. Hello, WTF and TFW crew.
Hi.
I have questions. Please answer them if they're not too much trouble. Are they too much trouble?
I hope not.
Okay. First one works for both teams. The reminder might work better for Aaron and TJ. Well, Aaron's like kind of here, so...
Yeah.
Question number one. A little while back, I asked you about how you'd feel about Hasbro Takara Tomy revisiting the whole 124-132 scaled vehicles with function interiors market that Alternators and Alternity created. How would you feel if the various independent transforming toy companies made toys with a similar goal? Not only would they be mostly unrestrained by budgets and licensing, but also types of vehicles, not just realistic cars, but trucks, military vehicles, or even airplanes. So, kind of what a couple of companies already moved into with, like, Make Toys Remasters. Would you like to see that?
Sure.
Well, they have.
And we gotta bring them out!
Yeah, that's one of those questions where I waited so long that the answer kind of already happened. So, to permeate it in a slightly different way, what do you think about just, like, a more Alternators-specific take from the unofficial market?
I think it could be cool with like some of the things, but I would need it to be in scale with everything because I'm a big sort of scale nerd. So
yeah, well, it would be if it was a numeric scale. At least you'd know like a place to base it off of. By the way, so you're coming in from the UK, right?
No, I actually live in Bolton.
Oh, well, then who cares about auto assembly? Sorry, Simon.
Oh, I'm actually moving back to the UK. Later in August.
Holy crap!
Yeah.
That's good timing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm probably not going to make it, so if you get there, try to find Mikey. He's a paleontologist. He's an Irish fellow named G-Wolf-V2, or
V3?
V3. Try to find him, and I don't know, just tell him I said hello.
Okay.
And if Andy's there, he's kind of like 8 feet tall. Just don't say anything to him, he doesn't.
And then I need you to find Jai D.
He's a Scottish fellow.
Deck him for me.
Yeah, just punch him in the face.
Hey, that's not nice.
I'm sorry, Aaron, what would you do?
Yeah, the same thing, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for your time. Oh, wait, who's this coming up next?
This guy. Fuck. Hi.
What's your name?
Todd Hakusho.
Todd Hakusho? That's Malwave's username on TFW. I have a special question for you.
What a coincidence, huh?
I have a very special question for you. Hang on.
You have a question? Do you have a question for us while he's looking it up? Please don't shoot me.
That's not a question. That's a statement. Shoot him.
Did your voice go up at the end?
I actually don't have a question.
How far away do you have to scroll to get to this question?
I'm curious why you're turning the camera. No, you're not. Okay.
This has now become a snuff film.
Okay, anyway.
Oh, God, it's like a Serbian film all over.
Aaron, I wish you could see this. His shoulders, like, went up to his ears the moment he got up to the mic.
Good. Keep him scared.
So we've got a question for you. This comes from Todd Hakusho. Sent in June 8, 2015. Hello to the podcast personality Aaron the Hatchet, TJ the End, and Coco B. Seth. And Random Factor if you're on as well, because I can't leave you out.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. I'm magic.
I got another question for y'all that I hope will generate some discussion.
Oh god, I must have been drunk when I tried this. Okay, keep going.
Let's hypothetically say you have a machine or ability that allows you to travel only backward in time. Whoops, I clicked a button. Hang on. Hang on.
Is that part of the question?
No, it's not.
Nope. I just lost the dock.
I'm really drunk.
Oh,
you're telling me you really don't remember doing this?
I don't remember. This ought to be good.
Well, the question's talking about time travel. Have we entered some sort of causality loop?
Oh, no. The question was, do you remember it, or no, that's what I'm asking myself. If you had the ability to have a machine to go back in time to any point in during the line of Transformers.
Not forward, that's for casuals.
Yes.
He said here.
Okay, you have it up there. Okay, you continue.
Ignoring the fact that you could cause irreparable damage to the space-time continuum and may erase yourselves from existence and not counting doing obvious changes like everyone will say, what thing about Transformers would you modify change outright? It could be anything. Toys, movies, actors playing certain characters, etc. Thanks for reading my question, guys. Whoop click. So, what would you change?
Okay, I wasn't actually expecting to answer this question myself.
That was subtle.
Don't give me that look.
Okay.
Hi, Stu.
How's it going?
Yeah, okay, our panel enforcer is here. I actually don't know. Bunny Cliff, stop pointing that gun at me.
Hey, come on, you got time. Don't worry about it.
Do I? Really? Okay.
Well, how much time do we actually have? Yeah, we've got about 4 seconds left for your slot here. So 4, 3, 2. Action Masters? Action Masters? Is that what you said? Action Masters?
Come here.
Okay.
How would you answer this question? Because you both shot me.
Yes.
Okay. That works for me.
That's a good answer.
Thanks for your time, Malwave. Inspector Gadget? Would you erase it or modify it?
Erase.
What?
Stu would
what?
Erase
yeah. Stu.
Wow. I'm not that into Inspector Gadget, but I can dig it. That's passion. Who's up next? Who have we got here?
This is Pajama Prime.
Pajama Prime? Hang on. Nice.
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on.
He's looking for it.
Wait for it. All right, here we go. Question from XL Hedge. Sup, guys? A while back, Vangelis said he got around to watching Red vs. Blue. Just wondering if he's caught up and what all your thoughts are on it.
Actually, I haven't watched it in a long time, but I remember enjoying it a lot. And I should watch it since it's on my Netflix.
Yeah. Did I catch up?
I don't know. Did you?
I'm asking you. You're the one who's answering the...
I think you did.
Wow! I must have loved it. All right. Number two. What were your first Optimus and Megatron toys? And would you want them redone as generations or masterpieces? What improvements would you want with them?
My first ones were classics Optimus Prime and Hank A. Megatron.
So would you want them redone in classics?
I love them. Optimus and Megatron have been redone in generations and I think various times as legends in the universe and stuff like that. So yes, improvements, make Megatron gun again.
All right.
Instead of a tank or a jet, because...
You're a gunman.
I'm a gunman, yeah.
All right.
I like some guns.
The final question is, with emphasis on animal features on the Decepticons in RID 2015, if the Prime Decepticons do make an appearance, which animals would you want them based on, which animals would you want them based their redesigns based on?
Okay. I'd probably like, the Shark Megatron. Sharktacon Megatron would be good. Mm-hmm. Crocodile Knockout, Crocout.
That's actually right in here. XL Hedge says he'd be pissed if we don't get a Crocout appearance.
Some sort of either maybe an eagle or a flying fish for Starscream.
Flying fish would be pretty great.
Injector. What? Starscream.
Megatron, Starscream, Knockout, Dreadwing's dead. Spoilers.
Spoiled the show. No one's watching. What?
That's about it, really, for the mains. I think. Yeah, Soundwave.
It would be
badger.
Jellyfish.
A jellyfish Soundwave.
The aquatic theme of everyone.
Yeah.
So.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much. Who have we got coming up next here?
Hello, I'm
Soul
Fury.
Soul Fury.
I'm the guy who pages your podcast for you. Well,
you're on my list of people that I control V into the send to slot.
That's right.
Yeah, I need to update that because that's been the same thing for like 4 years.
He's feeding all his front page credits to Soul.
Yeah. Soul Fury actually gave me my last front page credit back in 2013. I see it when I go check my PMs.
Do you get all excited?
I do.
News.
It's
I
like a little
news
green
credit.
Light.
Oh, it's an old news credit. Okay.
It still makes me happy. Well, I have a question here for you.
from Pajama Prime. Hey everyone in the WTF and TFW Pocket Universe, Pajama Prime here, back after a while to throw down some questions about Combiners for you guys to pick up and play with as you wish. Number one, there's no doubt that Combiner Wars has taken the world of Transformers fans by storm. The simple formula of classic G1 Special Team Scramble City combination with joints is a great way for fans to experience the Transformers concept without needing to pay out the nose for third-party figures that don't play nice with other teams in terms of inter-team play. I wonder if the Combiner Wars formula could revitalize the third-party Combiner War that started many moons ago and inspire independent companies to make new figures to complement Hasbro's new figures. Teams that may seem out of reach for Hasbro, like Abominus, Lyokaiser, or Monstructor, could be made with the same simplicity in mind to keep the Scramble City idea alive. I personally have been saying that a chug... Oh, what?
I know you love acronyms.
A Classics Henkei United Generations version of Fans Project's Glacial Lord is needed, as I wasn't super into, but still appreciated the idea behind the G1 nature of the team. The Combiner Wars model could be a way to bring Glacial Lord in the eyes of the fandom once more. Hope you got all that.
I think so. I actually just picked up the first Glacial Lords today, so I may get back to you on that one. It looks like a fantastic design. I actually really dig the retro style. My collecting is all Generation 1 and Brave. That is my era, so I actually quite like the blocky simplicity and the retro style.
Cool. I think that mic needs to be tilted towards you, too. Like, there should be a tilt at the top. Is there? Is there?
There is.
Okay. Yeah, it's pointing up. There we go. All right, next question. Consider, if you will, consider a world where the podcast team of WTF and TFW are all Cybertronians. Why consider? It's real. You went through the surgery, right, when we brought you on that one time? You haven't?
I zoned out halfway through that question. What?
Oh, no, we're on question two now.
Okay.
Here.
All right.
I'll give you this one. Well, now it's covered up.
Aw. Consider, if you will, a world where the podcast team... It went away.
I'll fix it.
If the podcast team went away, that's kind of scary.
I mean, what
is this, jail time? Did we just disappear out of the timeline? Define away.
The thing that keeps freaking me out is I kind of forget every now and then that Aaron is here on a Skype call.
I'm just being polite. I'm trying to fill this dead air.
Consider, if you will, a world where the podcast team... of WTF and TFW are all Cybertronians, imbued with the power of combination by the Enigma. You used Nam.
Right?
You wrote Enigma.
I did?
Yeah. Oh,
my bad.
He likes to read literal.
You have become an unstoppable force for good, evil, and the internet. Assuming that Vangelis is the torso, as he's the host, which of the other cast members would be which limbs in your standard configuration, and who would you bring in as your missing limb? Would you put a retired podcast veteran back into the fray, or would you bring someone in from the fandom as the new member who feels he needs to prove himself? Looking forward to your answers. Cheers, Pajama Prime. So, let's say that you're me. So now you're a torso.
I'm a torso.
Who in this room would you attach to yourself and why?
Alpha Bravo.
Where?
Hydra.
Hydra, really?
Bravo.
Returning podcast member Alpha Bravo.
Let's see.
Yeah, he's always been there.
it would be rude not to include Aaron, so I'll stick him on my arm.
He's an arm, so he gets to be really cool.
I generally am the right hand when it comes to conventions and whatnot, so...
Yeah, so, yeah, you're my right hand, and I need a strong left arm to go with it, so, Stu.
All right, Stu's the left hand.
Then I need a good solid pair of legs on me, so, let's have Seth and TJ making up the legs.
Let's just have Seth and Seth. Split them in half and jam them into both parts.
Yeah, Seth twins,
All right, so Seth and TJ, so that means what, am I, like, the weapon, the backpack?
You're the brain master for this combination.
Oh, sweet. So, like, my insides will just ripple up out a slit in the top of my head and, like, jam into your... That's morbid.
Yes.
You're just the breast master.
Yeah,
like, strapped to the front like a cross.
Yeah, facing forward.
Laughing.
Yeah. I'll form the breasts. All right, well, thanks very much, Simon. What time are we at here? All right, we should... I don't know when they need us at. Evan! What's our time cap in here?
I don't know. I used to work here.
All right. Let's just keep going for a bit.
5:21?
Yeah, just a day.
Okay. I can do that.
Did we already have you?
I'm back.
I'll find him one. I'll find him one.
I think the guy behind you hasn't gotten a chance to go yet. Come on.
No, I got a good question.
You have a question? Okay, what is it?
Do you have any ideas for like a BotCon or a Fun Pub exclusive? I have a few myself, and I know you will enjoy this one I have.
Well, we should keep it short. So, what's yours?
Mine? I don't know. What's yours?
Well, I had two ideas. Like a new set of the G1 GoBots with the generation figures. Like there's like the. Yeah, we get like the
GoBots are great.
Treads, yeah, the treads out of that new Warpath and Combine Rewards and. Bad Boy from Power Glide or maybe Viper. Like they're all there. We can do like a redo of the old G1 GoBot set. And the other one was Omega Scream out of Energon Omega Supreme.
See, I always would have done Omega Scream out of Power Core Undertow.
Yeah.
I always figured he was perfect for that.
There's a guy who did a custom of that, which is awesome.
Really?
Yeah. And someday, I'm going to remember to shake him to make me one. I'll throw like a fistful of money at him in a bag with a dollar sign on it.
The reason I can't...
T2RS6, thank you. Yeah, he's made a really, really good custom.
The reason I have trouble thinking of one is because like my idea is always like to have like a heist team, like do like an Ocean's 11 thing, but FunPub always keeps doing it and then doing it badly.
Like, oh, that's the fun pub way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's our joke, right?
It's like credit card info and heists. Like,
Well, that's what the heist is.
We're being heisted. Jiminy. Hey, Aaron.
It's the imperfect crime.
How'd the recent news strike you?
I may have laughed a lot.
Hmm?
And then stepped away and then came back and then laughed some more.
Okay. So business as usual.
Yes.
Okay.
Remember, in dealing with them, prepaid credit cards.
Yeah, burner cards. Like burner phone. Okay, I want that.
Yeah, you're probably not bad off with burner phones and burner email addresses, too.
Just set fire to the card, watch the ashes fall.
Or just set a proxy in your place at this point.
Yeah. Or just steal a credit card yourself and use that, and then, you know, get rid of the middleman. You know, just
what if you use one of the numbers that's already been stolen from them? Just becomes a snake eating its own tail?
What if you just kept guessing numbers until you got in?
So once upon a time, I was saying the way the nerf escalation would work is that we would just actually bring guns and shoot at the ceiling in here. But instead, the escalation is we are now just discussing credit card theft in Canada about an American company.
Yep.
Aaron, you keep telling me about international incidents.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
You're causing another one.
You're causing another one. Yeah. No, I can't yell at him. He's a prowl face. He's just, like, so stoic. Hi.
Hello.
What's your name?
My name's Sean.
Sean?
Yes.
I know a couple Seans. But you're a new one.
I am.
I have a question for you from another person who has a real person's name and not a made-up name. From Chris Suprenant. It's a question for the podcast, which is you right now. If there's one thing you could change about the Transformers fandom itself, what would it be? For me, it would be to make it so everyone's not so hyper-reactive. For example, the riots that happen whenever, and then he says some stuff, but you know what I mean. Riots just happen. So yeah, what would you change about our fandom?
Cool down a little bit, you know? Everything that's created, whether it be third party or Hasbro, is an individual interpretation. If Transformers has taught us nothing else, that there's so many different imaginations they can make for any different thing. So making something a little different, that's kind of how the show is. It's about robots that change, so everything is about change. Hmm. When they change something about it, don't freak out about it. Appreciate the changes. See it as an artistic expression. If you don't like it, that's your opinion. Know that there are other people out there who do like it, and the people put their heart and soul into creating this stuff.
Yeah, when people put their heart and soul... into coming up with creative ways to tear it all down, too. To stop picking all the hyperactive... No, I'm just...
Tear it down, I think that's just alcohol and anger, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
No, that's TFCon.
Yeah. When you're getting angry on the web, it's sometimes also just, like, cocaine or...
Just gotta do it more, man. Once you get that first hit of internet
Aaron,
rage.
While we have you on the line, where can I get some hot, sweet cocaine?
You're in Canada.
And?
It's like part of free healthcare, isn't it? Just say that you have a medical need for it and...
This is what the Americans actually think socialized healthcare means, by the way.
Oh, that's great.
So I can't tell if that's a joke or not.
I figured Aaron's already, like, promoting credit card theft, so maybe he could just lead us to Silk Road as well.
The just chill out thing I always kind of agree with. People sort of get into this hobby, this fandom, and they think that they have to engage in every single conversation as if they're going to be buying everything or not buying it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I can't buy this thing you're putting out, thus I am mad. And, you know, it's... People need to go into conversation sort of acting like it's not the end of the world if they don't like something or something is coming out they don't want.
Yeah. Or to not... come into a conversation where the crux of the conversation will end with, are we buying this or not? Mm-hmm. All of us together at the same time. Hi there.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name's Matt.
Well, you're going to briefly be Sean, because there actually was a second question in there.
Hey. Has I it... Why don't you take this away from Sean?
Answer it together.
Can we answer it together?
Sure. All right.
Duet.
Sean, all right.
They're both up there now, by the way, people on the live stream. Has there ever been a toy line...
The live stream is talking about Evo.
Man, come on!
Play three.
Woshige's out. What's left to watch? I don't know. Has there ever been a toy line that you are very glad didn't become something you wanted to collect? Amiibos don't count. That's kind of relevant to what we were just talking about, in a way. A little parallel track. Yeah.
I buy so much stuff, this is actually incredibly different.
Yeah, you just go out and buy it regardless.
Make sure you're getting the mic on that. We gotta hear your musings.
For me, I've just only recently started really collecting more high-end stuff, so... I know I love Masterpiece. I love any figure with good articulation and great detail. So, but I don't like these, like, legend figures that just don't have any kind of detail in the show. So I've just never really been a fan of those. So
you've seen them and you're glad they didn't become something.
Or like half the new cartoon lines.
Yeah.
Like Robots in Disguise. I'm perfectly happy not being interested.
Do we have any Smash fans in the audience, by the way? Check a look at the chat just for a second. Alright, that's good.
My only comment about Smash is, when's Marvel?
Oh yeah. It's also Gamatron. Rick. Also not here to defend himself.
All right, well, he goes on to say, also as a resident of St. George, Illinois, he fully welcomes the change to Pat Lee City, which I think I talked about some months ago, that we should just take St. George away and just rename it. No one has argued so far. The one guy from St. George says it's cool, right? It's cool, right? We can change St. George to Pat Lee City. Yeah, he says it's cool. What's wrong?
And I'm from Detroit, so you can make that a thing.
Okay, yeah.
The guy from Detroit says you can do that.
Yeah, the guy from Detroit says whatever, St. George, Pat Lee City, Illinois.
Okay.
There you go.
Detroit's for sale, right?
No, not yet.
Did they seriously build a gigantic RoboCop statue?
Yeah. One day, soon, hopefully. No one else is, but I want it.
Okay.
I want it to be it. I wish it was right downtown. Get rid of the spirit of Detroit and put RoboCop.
So it started as like a Kickstarter, and then it actually got approved by the city because like they needed something.
Yeah, so I know a couple of my buddies actually backed the program.
Yeah.
And I think they're thinking about putting it up sometime next summer.
Mm-hmm.
But the city itself, I guess, didn't really want it to be like a main thing downtown. So
yeah.
So they're talking with a private park to say, hey, can we put this up in your park?
Well, it's like the Rocky Balboa statue.
Yeah.
It's actually in the spot where the library steps are, and then I forget where does Rocky take place?
Philly.
It's actually the top of the steps of that library, and there was like this like people were worried because people weren't going to the library to go to the library; they're going to the library to see the Rocky statue.
Right.
You know, I have.
Hey, we don't need no reading.
You just need more punching.
It's iconic to the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
now I figured out where we are in the listener question queue too. Thanks for the fill, everybody. So this is actually two questions from Triceridon's question that I completely forgot were in there and has scrolled straight past. So these will be some more Triceridon questions. I have a question for you about More Than Meets the Eye. Have you read the comic?
No.
Excellent! All right, oh, here we go.
Take over. Nope.
No, we got to get a more unique perspective here.
Oh, okay.
How would you feel about a More Than Meets the Eye arc set, at least in part, on Earth? Could Roberts make such a story work, or is Earth inherently too limiting a setting? Or perhaps one that would overlap too much with the series formerly known as Robots in Disguise?
I think it would actually be kind of awesome. Personally, I guess I can kind of relate this to the Cybertron games that came out. And I was really hoping with the story that the next thing that would come out was on Earth. And having that game set on Earth would just be awesome. I think having a comic series set on Earth where you have giant robots is still really cool, and it'd be something fresh and new in comparison to what's been out before. Like, I still love All Hail Megatron. I thought that was one of the best storylines that came out in a while. And now that they're not on Earth, I kind of wish that they were back on Earth. Are they?
Yeah. Shush you.
Shush you.
This is more than
that. So, for me, I don't know, I think it'd be kind of cool.
All right. Yeah, actually, I think just going back to a bit there about the video games, I think it's they were directly going straight towards, like, we're gonna take this to being on Earth. We're gonna start retelling the G1 story a little bit more.
Doesn't the second game end with the G1 pilot?
It ends like 2 seconds before the pilot starts, which is in its own way a neat ending. But like the way that High Moon fell makes it only kind of a bummer. When I watch that ending cinematic, you know, hear Frank Tataskior's Megatron is one of my favorite Megatrons, doing his "I Will Not Be Denied" all operatic and stuff, like Psy-Kill, and like it's a real shame that and they got murdered by that Deadpool game. Basically,
was it the Deadpool game?
Everything I heard is it was the Deadpool game that killed them.
Jeez Louise!
Yeah.
I did have a question for you.
Okay.
If I could.
Go for it.
Okay. So, if there was a group or a team that you would like to be made by, whether it be Hasbro or one of the, I know you love the word third party.
I do.
Groups, just something that you think might be a little bit obscure but might come out. What would you be like? For me, for example, with Mastermind making a Strika. Personally, I would think it'd be awesome, especially if they tackled a lot of those Viacom General signs.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to see, and you too?
Thank you.
And maybe this guy.
No.
We're not going to talk to Aaron about this. Aaron doesn't have opinions. He's
no.
He's yeah.
That's what I'm told.
I collect Legos.
That was
Dad, there's no S. Lego.
How did it pick that up?
You're right.
Okay. This thing has a good compressor on the mic. You can hear him over there.
Really?
Yeah, you probably heard that too.
Yeah.
In my case, it really just comes down to something I've been saying for a while. I can't believe the Duocons are untouched. Like, it's such a unique piece of engineering to tackle, to ignore price points for, to ignore budgets on, you know, at least from the opening stages, and to just go, like, how do we make a Duocon work that has two good vehicle modes that turns into one solidly proportioned poseable robot? I think it would be fascinating. I think the market for it is probably me. Maybe you? Have I convinced you?
I get it, man. Man, if you set it up so that it was like
Aaron,
interchangeable tops and bottoms.
Three more people in the audience?
Yeah.
There's six of us who would buy it. So
yeah, that's all you need.
Seven would buy it.
There's the dollar battles coming.
Ken is scratching his nose. I'm taking that as a yes. So eight of us would buy it.
I'd buy it.
Ben's costing $5. That's three vehicles.
Over 10 people would buy these. That's not how you sell toys.
I was always sort of bummed out that third parties, like brief flirtation with animated, really sort of fizzled, because I really wanted to see more animated get made ever, because like there was so much, like if you open like an AllSpark almanac up, there's just tons of designs in there that should be buyable, should be in my hands on my shelf.
And there's an excellent custom of animated Omega Supreme. Again, I forgot who made it. Stu?
Animus.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I wish it were feasible for him to be producing more of those somehow. But, like, my understanding is a ton of work went into it, right?
I think 600 hours.
600 hours. So, if he could just, you know, do it a couple times, you know, we'll pay him, like, what, $50 a figure? It'll be totally worth his while.
Yeah.
one other thing, because you gave me permission to do it earlier.
This guy should probably, if he's on a podcast, I think he should plug it.
Yeah. If you haven't, and you're a nerd, and like nerd things, me and that guy, Sean, with a really, really awesome voice. We're on a podcast called Standard Nerds that's on iTunes and Feedburner. You can listen to it on anything. That's with a 3 instead of an E. So
Standard Nerds with a 3 instead of an E.
Yeah, it's not very standard.
Hang on.
I will shamelessly leave flyers and things strewn throughout the area.
Standard Nithrurds.
I was sitting there for a second, like, wait a minute, there's no E in standard.
Yeah. It's like, that's an A.
Was that for my own purposes there?
What?
You type standard nerds in the Skype chat.
Yeah, so I could read it.
Okay. I just was being used for text. All
this
right.
is the equivalent of me using your back to write a sticky note.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks. Thanks very much, Aaron.
You're welcome.
All right. Hi.
Hello.
What is your name, for the record?
Vincent.
All right, Vincent, I have one more question from Triceradon. This also relates to More Than Meets the Eye. Have you read it?
I love it, yeah.
All right. This will be a much different answer than last time, but to what extent do you think does More Than Meets the Eye owe its success to its art style? Would it have been as popular if it had an artist such... Well, I'm not going to start naming people this guy thinks are bad artists, but that's a little bit rude. But do you think More Than Meets the Eye is all the writing, or do you think that like the Alex Milne art has helped hold it together and make it the rest of the whole that it is?
I definitely think the art is important. I think some of the designs, especially for the female characters that film designed recently, I don't know if that would have worked if you had a crappy artist going in art.
Yeah, well, and he did the designs himself, right? If I remember the interview, right? Yeah. There's only a few. I think there are some artists who just like they're able to draw robots, but there's only a few who are able to also like design the robots. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that is a big part of it. Especially for those back... I'm thinking about it. Yeah, those background characters that we always see, like the other crew members who don't talk. Yeah. Hey, he's definitely a huge part of the whole... I don't know. I just answered the question after I asked you the question. Let me see how long this one is. You want to do one more? That was a little bit short. We also a multi-parter here from Thunderboom, so I'll give you part of it. Thunderboom says, I hate to do this, but I have two hopefully short questions for you today instead of just one. So I just want to tell Thunderboom it's okay. I mean, are you okay with it? Are you okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, are you okay with it?
I'll let it go.
Okay. So the question is, what are some of your favorite Transformers characters or toys that didn't get a lot of love? For instance, Thunderboom loves G1 Buzzsaw, the psychotic artist, but due to Laserbeak's cartoon prominence, most people don't care about him. So who's an obscure character that's on your radar?
Okay, so I haven't watched Headmasters, but Six Shot, in IDW... I feel like he could have been used like way more. I hope he comes back.
I keep forgetting he was in IDW.
Yes.
Yeah, he was
crushed by Metroplex. He's not dead.
Yeah, he was like in it, like in the beginning, the part that most people don't remember, and then he was in that spotlight. Yeah, and then he just sort of went off the radar. Yeah, I agree with you.
Can I have a question for you?
Okay.
Three. I feel like a lot of combiner teams don't get like enough like personality between each individual character. I think with More Than Meets the Eye, you have First Aid, you kind of escape being just a leg. Is there a team that you would have liked to have seen get more love?
The one?
I think it's really like sort of upsetting we're not getting really getting Technobots. I really would have loved to see Computron like make a resurgence, and I think that starts in the comic and then comes out in the toy line. I think him getting overshadowed sort of all together sort of like culminates in this the combiner overall just not really making an appearance.
I think in IDW the biggest shame for me team wise is that since some of them have appeared as members of the Circle of Light, the Multiforce, given the state of what combination means in the comics now, would have been kind of fascinating to see a team of six robots who combine but can also turn into two robot combiners individually, and the way that their psyches would intermix in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I think, who was it? Wing? Was it? Appeared in that Drift book?
It wasn't Wing.
Yeah.
It just had the same name.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't Landforce or Landcross Wing.
No, it was coincidentally had the name.
Oh! Well, I hope they can appear, because, like, the nature of what they're doing with combination at IDW, it's like, it's just fascinating, like the whole mingling of psyches and actually covering that. I mean, in the miniseries, I think it was covered a little kludgily, but the concepts were neat. So I'd love to see the Multiforce get some time in there.
So it's like, we need a robot that's good at public speaking. Put these six personalities together.
Yeah. I don't know, just stuff like, I mean, okay, small combiner war spoilers, but like, you have a combiner whose psyche is altered by replacing one member with a different one. In a way that is like strategic. So it's like, I want this combiner to have an inkling towards this. I'm going to add this one into the mix and like tweak his personality that way.
That was a cool thing that I sort of like guessed at myself with Combiner Wars, because the way they were releasing like
some of those toys.
Extra limbs. Like a breakneck and...
Quickslinger.
Quickslinger. Sort of as like, here are the guys you need when you need your combiner to go a little nuts.
Yeah, Quickslinger. His shots will put you in a sling.
Really quick? No.
Because it means slingshot. Thank you. Get the questions back on here. What's your name?
Rob.
Hi, Rob.
I'm Goddammit on the boards.
Hi, Goddammit.
Thank you.
I have a question for you, Goddammit.
All right.
Lots of cool toys cost a pretty penny, Goddammit. But not all of them do. On a budget of $50, what are your recommendations for fun transforming robot toys, goddammit? Feel free to suggest items from decades ago. There's always eBay to track down some obscure 80s items after all, goddammit. Thank you for your time. This came from Thunderboom, who's also known as Shock Pulse.
Hey, Shock Pulse.
Hi. I'm not Shock Pulse.
Some of my favorites, like cheap, not really cheap, but best toys are like the G2s, Sky Scorchers, or Cyberjets. Or those usually like $15 on eBay, and that's sealed. So those are fun little toys, just to fiddle with.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what I'd say.
I think the Cyberjets are kind of. Maybe I'm wrong, but in my estimation, they seem like they're kind of a lost relic right now that a lot of people pass by, and they are really cool toys.
Yeah, I saw a bunch out in the dealer room, and no one was buying them.
Yeah.
That was very sad.
They're a nice little like bridge point between G2 and Beast Wars.
Yeah, I guess
you can see the design and engineering sort of shift, yeah.
So, I got a question for you guys.
Oh.
It might be the most thought-provoking question you've gotten, so I really want you to dig in and just... get in there. So, I have a question. Giga Power Gusher. Metallic or chrome?
Metallic.
Yeah? You think so?
I always go metallic over chrome.
Okay.
I think in the long run, it just is a nicer piece. Like, chrome is neat. Chrome has a pop factor. But I think in the long run, metallic just has, I don't know, it has more to it. I think well done metallic, especially on gutter, at least if it matches up to the sample I got, I think it just looks way cooler. Like, there's way more lighting, there's way more shadowing going on.
Yeah.
I would always go metallic.
All
right,
cool.
I don't know if you agree or disagree.
You know what? Chrome.
All right, let's do this.
Get him off the stage.
Hang on. Fix my hair. Hang on. Wait, that's old.
Someone named Goddammit comes up there and asks a question that has two answers. He wants a fight.
Hang on, this isn't working. Give me your case. I'm just doing something very important.
Because true fans want it.
Okay, well. Well, I'm a true fan.
No.
God damn it!
That's him.
You're right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, you can see both of them now. There's like the chrome one is nearly out. If you were at the show today, or you know, this weekend, I think they were both out on the floor.
The Devastators? Were they actually on the floor?
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Gutters.
Gutters, sorry.
Not the Devastators. That's a family I don't like to. The Gutters are nice people, okay? They're a nice family, right? The Devastators are a bunch
good,
of high
simple,
end.
Simple, God fearing people.
Bunch of high end, white picket fence, laurel wreath on the door. Window in the attic with the circular window with the cross through it from all the movies. No.
And they hate chrome.
Yeah. Hello. What's your name?
Nolan.
Hi, Nolan. Do you have a question for us, or would you like to answer a question?
I have a question for you.
Bring it!
Hey, could I be in the end of the video?
If you want to.
Sure.
Is the thing still recording, Stu?
I don't know. It looks like a black screen.
Oh. Okay. That's a shame. Well, we'll switch the live stream around or something. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Sure. Yeah, we're just about done here, I think. We got one more person lined up here.
Yeah, and then are you going to take... do you want to give him my spot?
Sure. Yeah. All
right, yeah, cool. We can do that.
All right, I've actually got a question.
Wait, who are you?
I'm General Techno. Yeah.
Hi, General Techno.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually got a question for you guys.
Okay.
Now, this year, as you know, GFR didn't have any official exclusives, but there were a lot of unofficial exclusives available in the dealer room.
This is true.
Polar, Evil Star, the Madhouse Toys one. but little other things here and there like that G2 Devastator, the little indie guys there.
I want to throw down there. I like the way they changed Evil Star to Devil Star for the purple version. It means Devil Star. The D in front of evil means Devil Star. Go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, I was just wondering, given that they're not technically officially affiliated with the conventions, you don't have to worry about politics, and like, I guess, what did you like and dislike about the exclusives this year?
Speaking for myself, I thought they were all fine and on topic. I think the only thing about them is that they were all very predictable. I don't think anyone went to this convention expecting to not see another diaclonized Lost Exo Realm. If you were to say, hey, they might do a variant of Evil Star, I think the first thing you'd say is, oh, you mean in animation colors. The Make Toys, you know, small Devastator figurines. What's another color to do them in? They're already in green. Why not G2 colors? Like, it's not really a criticism, but it's like there was nothing that made me say, oh, whoa! You know, like nothing that... The only thing that really caught me was the thing that Madhouse Toy Dojo and A3U were doing, Adder, doing like a Cobra color scheme on that Target Master figure. Like, that's the only one that made me go, like, I did not expect this at all. I like Diaclone Volar. Actually, in the case of he, is that the right grammar? In the case of he?
Him.
Sure, him. I don't know. He came with a sticker sheet for...
Language is prescriptive, not...
Yeah.
If it makes sense, go with it.
I got lots of prescription drugs. They came with a sticker sheet for the other Diaclone guys as well as he. And I thought that was a nice surprise. But it was just very predictable recolorings.
Did you guys get the stickers for Adder?
I almost didn't, but then I did. It was actually kind of interesting because the stickers had straight up logos on them, so they could not put those in the boxes and sell the boxes. It had to be, if you buy the box, they would completely unrelatedly say, hey, do you want the sticker sheet too? You might want it. You might want it. You should take it.
Thank you.
No problem. Hi.
Hello.
What's your name?
Real one or online?
Do both and make the online one your surname.
Really?
That's my favorite thing.
Gary the 12th Prime.
Gary the 12th Prime is the best name. It's way better than Chris Vangelis. I just sound like some kind of, like, you know, rip my shirt
that's
open.
Like when you're, like, playing an MMO, like a World of Warcraft or something, and you log into the dungeon and your tank's name is, like, Gary the 12th Prime, but it's all one word.
Yeah. have you got a question for us?
Possibly, yeah. If you
want to
go that route.
Sure. Let's do that. I'm starting to feel like we need to switch this around a little bit. I'm also tired of reading.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, reading is hard.
So for Combiner Wars, outside the U.S., we had the issue of not getting the comics in other markets because of language issues. So, would an acceptable solution not have been to put a code in for the digital comic?
I believe that is a very logical solution. My first response to the lack of it would probably be the question of whether or not that still isn't in and of itself a weird rights thing.
Right.
Of whether or not a digitally distributed comic could be packed in with a toy if it doesn't have that dual language thing going on.
Yeah, who has the Italian rights to the comics?
Well, it's also things like there's a Canadian iTunes store and there's an American iTunes store, right? So it's like, how do you universalize those codes?
Right.
And I mean, this is just me trying to think of why it wouldn't happen, because I think it's a great idea.
And with the Bot Shots, they did the codes for their Bot Shots games, right?
But that was a Hasbro-owned website.
Yeah.
So you'd actually have to use Hasbro as a vendor for those products. And the other thing I'd say is, when you start doing things like packing in codes, you greatly increase the chance of, like, vandalism of packages.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, anytime you see something that has, like something that's small inside that someone can just pull out, you walk through Toys R Us and someone's ripping open boxes and pulling codes out. Or you can just, like, sometimes see them through the packaging.
That was a small upside to the pack-in comics, is that those packages were, like, friggin' Fort Knox to get into.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even care about the package, but actually getting in there was really difficult. Like, I figured out a system to, like rip the top, run my finger along to bust the paper along the top,
cut
slip
your
the comic
hand
out.
Open. Yeah.
I've actually sliced my hand open on cardboard, which makes me feel, like, really, really tiny for a moment.
Yeah, those Generations boxes, the Combiner Wars boxes, are like, it's like buying a GameCube controller, where it's like, you needed, like, a special type of knife just to open up the plastic bubble.
Oh God!
No. You remember those?
Yeah.
I never had.
Those
GameCube.
Things are nightmares.
I was high end. I played PlayStation. Everyone had a GameCube except me. My friend Jacob had a GameCube. I played on his GameCube. I played Animal. I almost called it Animal House. Animal Crossing.
Rad game to play on my GameCube.
I made a guy called what did I call him? It was some real lousy name. Basically, I made a character entirely to live in my friend Jacob's village. Whenever I came over to visit, I would log into him, rip all the plants out of the ground, and then start hitting his character with a bug net and then log off.
Friggin' troll. And even at a young age.
I'd leave notes on his bulletin board saying the quest continues. And then he'd find out later.
You were like role-playing as Link in his town?
Pretty much, yeah.
Huh.
My character's name sounded like burlap, but it sounded worse. I tried to come up with a name that sounded like a vulgar sound. This horrible person. He lives in a house that's never tended, so it's just full of spiders and insects and has like one chair in it.
So, real life.
Pretty much, yeah. He's seen it.
Second question.
Oh, geez.
Charlie, you could have used Bo Aaron, but Bo Aaron's already left.
Ah.
Nah. Could have been a stand in. That's all.
Oh, there, yeah, Aaron. Real Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Aaron.
Hi.
Aaron. Aaron. Yes. Aaron!
What?
Danger time.
Okay.
I got it wrong. Did I tell you that fake Aaron was here?
Yeah, I'd seen that. I think Random Factor was repeatedly tweeting me like, I see.
There were two here this year. There's a dude who attends this convention who looks exactly like Aaron. And so at least 16 times during this convention, I'd be walking around and go, and eventually I sort of like got into my brain, that's not Aaron. So, because he's not doing the crazy Aaron grin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird to see an Aaron not doing the crazy Aaron grin.
Yeah. That's how you know that they're imposters.
No, that's what I was expecting. Because if I had actually been Aaron, I would come here pretending I'm the guy who looks like me and just see how many days in a row I could wander around and be mistaken for that guy. And then, like, on the last day, just, like, sitting in the podcast, break into the grin.
Yeah, like if Aaron could just walk around with like a demure, you know, calm look on his face, not grinning all the time.
Well, actually, if you look to the doors to your left, nothing's going to happen.
Stu just looked, just so you know, Aaron.
Sorry, Stu.
Hi, Stu.
How's it going?
I was wondering where the mic went.
Hiding.
Oh.
So, being that I am contractually obligated to disrupt this podcast every year.
Yeah.
I'm here to disrupt this podcast.
Hashtag danger time.
And even though we do not have one Lupus Convoy with us, I do have to ask a very serious question.
Right.
Hypothetically, of course.
You mean like if it was a hypothetical situation?
Almost like a hypothetical question.
Kind of like a hypothetical question about a hypothetical situation.
In theory, that is what I'm saying.
All right.
Okay, let's just get to the crime we're all admitting to and move on.
So my question for all three of you. Hypothetically. Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
Versus Turbo Team.
Right.
Who wins?
Well, I think Inspector Gadget's swathe of various gadgets, weaponry, and equipment would eventually overcome an automobile.
Okay, here's my question.
Okay.
What if he started the car, Inspector Gadget got inside him, and then he turned back into a kid?
I guess the question is, does Turbo Teen crush Inspector Gadget inside him?
Yes.
Or does Turbo Teen's
explode.
Does he just explode and Inspector Gadget is covered in the remains of a teenager and subsequently retires because holy crap, the trauma you would suffer.
The question is, how long does Turbo Teen's body retain the mass and material of an automobile?
What is the inside of the... Sorry,
if at some point during that metamorphosis, he turned back into flesh and bone, of course he'd explode, but if he stayed metal and steel...
Yeah.
Like, well, he was in... Well, he was ensconced.
Well, I guess, does he turn to flesh and bone, then shrink? Or does he shrink, then turn to flesh and bone? Because my question is, what does the interior of Turbo Teen look like when he goes in either direction? Like, what do the seats become? Are they his kidneys? Because there's two of them? Or what? Is the driver's seat like his heart? Or is the gear shift his heart?
If you were in the midst of driving it, and then the change came over him, would it be like Event Horizon going on inside that thing?
If you put a gun inside of the glove compartment of Turbo Teen in car mode, where does it go when he's a human, Stu?
Or a map, for that matter.
Yeah, where does a map go? This is like he turns into a teenager sticking out his ear. It's like sticking up his mouth and out his nose. And everyone's like, nah.
This has gone as beautifully as I hoped it.
Aaron! Aaron!
Yeah.
Aaron! Aaron!
I'm here. I'm listening. What?
What's your answer to the question?
You do bring up good points. I think that the transmission would become his heart, or vice versa, for an earlier point. Gun in the glove box would just come out of his mouth. Just and then you'd
which
be ready
way?
To go.
Like barrel forward or barrel backward?
Sideways, actually. It'd come out like with the hammer first.
We have a plow king.
We have a plow king? Hang on. This is important. Get this over here. Okay. Hi, plow king. He's going to hear this a minute later. So, Stu, say something to plow king.
Hey, sir. How's it going?
All right. Now, keep watching that for the next minute, and he'll get a reply into you.
I am curious how many people in the chat did have to Google Turbofiend.
What's going on in the chat anyway? I haven't looked at this in ages.
The only thing better than Turbo Teen is Teen Boat.
Teen Boat?
The thrill of being a teen, the joy of being a boat.
It's the angst of being a teen.
Is it the ecstasy of being a teen? The angst of being a teen, the thrill of being a boat. That's right.
There's no ecstasy in being a teenager. Not until you finish being a teenager. Then you're like, wait, that was awesome! Oh!
Now it's over. Forever.
That's what ages 18 and 19 are for, at least in Canada. Where you get to hit adulthood while still being a teenager, and you're like, yeah! And you turn 20, and you're like, oh.
My life is over.
My hips. Well, thanks, Stu. I notice you're not armed, so thanks for, you know, respecting our peace accord here. Thanks for respecting the peace. Thanks for respecting the very specific peace accord that says Malwave's the only person who gets shot.
I was also contractually obligated to do that. No, I have not been drinking. That's just difficult to say.
Yeah, contractual. Say SXS for me.
No.
Come on. SXS overclocking. Say it three times really fast. SXS overclocking. SXS overclocking. Oh, man.
I can do super ventricular tachycardia.
Can you write that down for me in like 1 second? How's your cursive?
Sucks.
Oh, yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
How's your cursive? Aaron, how's your cursive?
Horrible.
Does like anyone in the room have good cursive?
Really?
Shit, yeah.
We use cursive in Brazil on a regular basis, and mine still sucks.
Because I learned cursive in grade, like, going through to, like, grade 7, we wrote cursive. I wrote cursive in high school for a while. And then one day, I found the one teacher who was like, yeah, I don't really care. And it just spread from there, and I became some kind of scumbag who writes in block letters. So.
Yeah, printing.
Yeah, printing, yeah.
No, my printing's god-awful, too. When I was a kid, it was weird to be on the internet as much as I was, and my handwriting went to hell. But luckily, the rest of the world caught up to me in using the internet all the time, so everyone's handwriting went to hell.
Yeah.
And now I'm normal. And that's the scary thought.
I've had many jobs over the years where I, at least at some point, end up having to go through someone's paperwork and reading their handwriting. And I can confirm over the years, from like the 2000s till now, people's handwriting is terrible.
No, I work in university. I mark your exams.
Just to
you
finish this
to
off.
You need to learn to write.
Specifically?
Yeah, yours.
Why not?
I'm so sorry.
What university you work at?
Thanks.
All right, I'll sign up.
So just to finish this off, have you ever had an assignment where you literally could not read any of it?
Okay, so...
The pen just goes down.
Crap. There are a lot of papers where if like you start reading the piece as a whole, you understand what the person is saying, generally. And the professor's standard idea there, when that sort of thing comes across your table, you panic, run to another professor's office, and you're like, I can't read this. And you go, well, they said, do you still have a general idea of what they're saying? Do you understand the points they're making? And I go, kind of. And well, you go from there, but you deduct the marks for coherency. And that's sort of how that works. It doesn't happen that often. Like, most handwriting is, you learn to read bad handwriting after a while. Like, it's just another language, basically. But
I've had it happen with transcribing paperwork into a digital web system or form system, where I hate asking for help, just in general. I go to Best Buy. I avoid the people who work there. I go to any kind of store. When someone says, you have any help, I don't even think. I say, nope! Just looking! With my hands in my pockets, all sweaty, looking like I'm going to steal something. And I have spent once half an hour staring at someone's name, because I didn't know their name, and it was a very strange name, trying to like ghost write what I was looking at while simultaneously thinking how I would write it and trying to find the middle ground that would translate the hieroglyphics I was looking at. Eventually I just asked someone for help. And I felt very bad about it. Aaron, thanks for joining us for this teleconference panel.
Hey, I'm glad I could be at TFCon in some sort of fashion.
Aaron, do you have any final words for Canada before we, you know, forcefully remove you from it? We're going to actually deport you digitally from Canada.
No. I didn't think
Aaron,
I'd have any
I need
final
you to
words.
Fill for me for like 35 seconds while I go and switch a battery. So, do you have any final words for Canada?
Well, why do you need to switch a battery at the very
because
end of the panel?
Because I need to switch a battery, Aaron.
At the end of the panel?
Yes.
You should have switched it much sooner.
Not
if you're
fault.
Waiting until the end of the panel, the battery's dead. It's no more. It's no good anymore.
Phil,
and now you're going to sit there and you're going to get this other thing ready to go and get ready, and there's going to be no use for it.
Just keep filling. You're doing good.
This is what happens when I'm not around to make sure everything's good.
Aaron, tell them how great I am to work with.
It's horrible. It's painful. You're like, hey, look, no, did you grab the hardware that you needed? What hardware? Like a camera, right? You're filming something? Oh, yeah. A camera. That'd be important, wouldn't it? What about batteries? What do you mean batteries? The thing to run the camera.
Hey, Aaron, tell them what it's like when you and I need to get somewhere on time at a convention.
Impossible.
What happens?
You get stopped by anything that's shiny or anything that's not shiny. Really, just constantly stopped. I feel like... So I've been listening to Adam Savage's podcast and talking about that stuff, and him talking about at San Diego Comic-Con how he has his Adam Incognito where he does costumes in order to maybe get recognized and has things. Another thing that he doesn't really advertise is he has another costume that's just a mask so that he can walk around without people knowing who he is. We need to do that for you.
All right, Aaron, you filled just about enough time.
Okay. The alternate part of that mask is to cover the eye holes. That way you can't be distracted by other people either.
Thanks, Aaron. So we're
going
to finish this off, and you requested to be in the end of the video, right?
Yep.
Okay, so the video's over there. Where did everyone go? So I was going to ask Stu to help me with something. Oh, well. Doesn't matter. Do you have any final words for everyone now that you're on the video?
Well, that I'm really glad to be here, and I really enjoy Vangelis's video
about
peanut butter sandwiches. They're pretty hilarious.
Do you have any preference in peanut butter sandwiches?
Peanut butter and Nutella.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
You dig peanut butter and Nutella?
Yeah. Because
I started doing that after the honey thing started getting a little too sweet. I got some Nutella. My girlfriend got me some Nutella.
Yeah.
And so I started like mixing the two, like one, like peanut butter on one, Nutella on the other.
Yeah, that's what I do.
It's pretty awesome.
I know.
And some people told me, what are you doing? They're like, I put out a call to people saying, what is your perfect peanut butter sandwich? And people started laying out like, well, I like peanut butter with, and then like 15 other things. And then I was like, what about peanut butter with honey or peanut butter with Nutella? And they're like, why would you do that? That's dumb. It's PB&J or it's PB and 15 things. Thank you for validating me. Like,
sheer smooth.
So
that doesn't matter.
So apparently someone in the chat wants you to beat up a car.
That's not legal in Canada. Sorry.
Sorry, Gamatron.
Yeah.
How many diamond cars are in this one building?
Sorry,
right
Gamatron.
Now?
That's okay. He'll hear you like a minute later. The lag's pretty amazing. Well, thank you very much. I'm so happy someone... Has anyone else tried Nutella peanut butter?
Yeah?
It's great, right?
It is. Awesome.
Then friggin' get on Twitter when I start having to defend peanut butter sandwiches to people.
Don't do it.
White chocolate peanut butter.
Sorry, Aaron, do you have an opinion on this?
Just to be opposite of you.
Oh, okay.
It's the important thing.
Well, that's Aaron in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just leave him on there and assume he'll stay out of. Actually, no, Aaron, I should probably hang up on you here.
All right.
Because we got to close this up pretty soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Aaron.
Now I'm just going to mute him so he can't say anything, but I'll leave him on the line. So just to finish off, how was your TFCon?
Good.
Pretty good. Would you come back next year?
Yeah.
All right. Do you think that we should be at the end of the show still? Do you think this works?
Yeah, sure.
This time slot?
Yep.
All right. Did you check out the organizers panel as well?
A little bit.
Who does, though? Like, who did?
Just to get here.
Okay, yeah. Hold your seat. All right. Well, that about does it for us, I think. Do you want to thank everyone for coming by?
Thanks, everyone, for coming by.
Yeah!
Yeah, thanks all of you for, like, spending, you know, a pretty silly 1 hour and 36 minutes with us here. That's 96 minutes, not quite 100, so it's not a problem. GFCon's over, so, I mean, four more minutes? Well, yeah, I mean, like, thanks for coming out to TFCon. Thanks for sticking around. Like, the show's over. The staff have, you know, they've gone to bed. I guess, you know, just take a chair with you if you want when you leave. They don't fold up. And see you guys again some other time. Anyone here going to Charlotte?
Maybe.
Oh, a couple people?
Maybe.
Oh, all the Americans. Okay. Anyone looking like you're going to be coming back here next year?
Yeah.
How about Chicago next year?
Maybe.
All the Americans. Okay. Well, have a good rest of your evening. I'm going to pack all this up, and I guess we'll see whoever's still around over there somewhere.
Stealing the bar menus.
Stealing the bar... Yeah, you are now able to take the bar menus with you, I believe.
Yes!
So,
I did see someone said the F word and the text thing.
Oh, the chat?
Yeah, the chat.
Yeah, they're scumbags. Don't listen to them. Like, they, yeah. We put them up there so we see what they look like so we know we're better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, thanks for joining me, Ecker. Once again, sorry about the comments on Street Fighter action figures. I didn't mean to start anything. If you weren't there for the fan media panel, I talked like 500 years of smack on some Street Fighter figures, and then Ryu comes up to ask a question. And I felt pretty much like a scumbag.
Oh, that's all right. I don't like the Mexican guy who's like weird.
Yeah.
He just goes... And he just pulls on your arms and stuff.
Yeah, it's messed up.
He tries to rip them off and stuff. It's like really weird.
Well, thanks to all of you for watching this. I don't know if this is going to fully lag out or not. I like that Aaron's still on the call. I'll unmute him. Hey, Aaron.
Hey.
I'm just going to leave you running while we pack up, if that's all right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're all done here. Yeah.
Add all that up, I know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.